Have you ever heard a strange noise in the middle of the night?
Hello?
Ever seen something you couldn't quite explain?
What's that?
Ever been visited by a loved one in a dream?
What are you?
Psychic mediums Katie Manning and Michelle Lyons-Polito talk about it all. Welcome to the Psychic on the Scene podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome back for another exciting episode of Psychic on the Scene. And with you as always, Katie Manning, psychic medium, moi. And also with me is my wonderful friend and producer, D. Scott.
Hello.
And my other wonderful friend and psychic medium, Michelle Lyons-Polito.
Hi there.
And we have back a fan favorite, one of our favorites, Jake Paul. Hi, Jake.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me back.
I'm so glad to have you back. So you're a psychic medium and you're a tarot card reader, correct?
Angel. Yes. You do angel work, right?
Yeah, and angel work. At this point, what am I not doing? Yes.
Right. Well, we're thrilled to have you back. Just thrilled because we love having you on. You're always such a font of information. Yes. So I wanted to talk about, we get a lot of requests for different spooky places in the capital region, and we can't get in all of them and wanted to talk about them, but I personally have a thing that keeps coming up on my TikTok, and I am deep diving on it all the time, and I'm really, really drawn to it, and I'm hoping that our listeners will like this too. But Jake, I want to start with you about, we were just talking off air about recent energy and about how basically like the living seem like they're off the hook crazy. And it definitely seems like two camps. And they had talked about this. I think Alex Bradley talked about it for years, that we were going to see almost like the haves and the have nots, almost like the people that were going to elevate and get it and be chill, we're going to get it. And obviously, I'm going to say we're part of that group. And then there's the other group that is really struggling with like kind of like being all over the place and the chaos. They're internally chaotic. They're choosing chaos. I know in my personal life, people that I know that do that. And it's like, God, we're too old for that shit.
And choosing anger.
Choosing anger, right. Like so they have to be angry about something. So they have to find it. So even going into this last week, I was actually worried about going, like not worried, I shouldn't say that, cancel, clear, delete. I was thinking ahead of time, like almost counteract any of that kind of energy because I was going to be on the radio, on the cat, and then I was going to do my show. And you can have like whole nights that are affected by that kind of like energy. And in fact, both experiences within that day were amazing, amazing people, just wonderful.
You knocked it out of the park with both of them, Katie.
Oh, thanks. It was great. It was really, really great. But I'm always anticipating, or I'm thinking, like, kind of having that in the back of my mind with this wacko energy that something else. But the other thing I've noticed is behind the scenes, I'm having a lot of people, and you guys confirmed it off air, a lot of people reaching out about hauntings.
Yeah.
And like, not in the normal place or their children. Like, it just seems like it's another like spurt of it. Mm-hmm. So Jake, I really want your take on that.
I feel like this is like kind of like a second wave almost. What's interesting is that I feel like I've been kind of like catching this like scent of this like ghost wandering kind of like going on here. Mm. Or like ghost like nomading that's been going on like probably over like, I would say 2016 is like when it really kind of started that I noticed it. Back then is when I was living in Green Island, and I would just remember like seeing spirits that I did not recognize there. I lived there my entire life, and I would walk home and I would see things that I didn't recognize in the town, different types of just energies that just did not have familiar vibes at all. And then it happened again right after COVID too. I am suspecting it might have to do with maybe like the psychic, like, then it kind of put in everybody to be in isolation like that. Something to that effect. But from COVID and
let me interrupt you for a second.
Yeah.
When was Hurricane Irene and Lee? What year was that?
That was near 2016, wasn't
hang
it?
On, our producer I think is looking it up earnestly. Okay, but so the reason I'm referencing that, when Hurricane Irene and Lee happened, I think Sarah was a little girl. So Sarah was like in preschool, yeah. And like kindergarten. And she came home and it was right after, and I was doing exactly what you just said. I would be driving places like Nellaston and where a lot of the damage had happened, and free-flowing spirits, random spirits, were like walking out into the middle of the road, like to the point that myself and an oncoming car slammed on our brakes. So it was in the dark. It wasn't just Katie seeing it and thinking somebody had stepped off the curb, car coming this way. And we both at the same time then like realized nobody was there. And then we just like rolled past each other. Like, what was that? So that was happening all over. And there was a panel. My daughter was in school, and there was a psychic like panel on Facebook that I was part of the group for a little while. And they were all putting up that they were having a lot of complaints exactly about that, free-flowing spirits. And we actually had a student, Michelle, that was in one of the classes who actually said that she had a problem on her property with the flooding, that there was spirits that were just showing up. And and she goes, these aren't, like, she knew her own spirits. She goes, they're not my spirits. So anyways, that was like the last time something like that happened.
So Hurricane Irene was 2011.
Okay. So that was it. So they said that that time, Jake, that that had to do with an atmospheric energy that was happening that basically punches a hole through like a vortex from the spirit world to here. So maybe what you were just saying about, you know, you saw it again, you know, 2015, but the whole COVID thing, maybe it had to do with this, the world being shut down and reopening, that it did something like that same energetically, like punching a hole through.
Yeah, it's interesting because if you kind of like take a really big step back and you even just look at like, just even watching the news too, it's interesting to find that like psychically, the earth, or at least our kind of reality, how we experience it, is kind of having its global warming moment the same way as like the regular earth is, you know. The veil is so much thinner, and at the same time activity, it just like storms are bigger, the heat, it's hotter during the seasons, it's warmer during the winter, everything's topsy-turvy. I think that there's just been so much, I'll say, chaotic energy in really global scales, and I think that that has made a significant difference in the way that the spirits operate with our reality and their ability to be seen more frequently, to the point where I think that it ties into what you were saying, because I've been experiencing it too. I feel like almost every other session that I'm having lately is kind of walking people into, okay, now all of a sudden I woke up and I have all of these abilities, I've been seeing spirit, and I don't know what to do with it, or I don't know, blah 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 blah, you know. But essentially, the point of the plot is that people are getting these senses, are starting to really tune in and can't disregard it as, you know, oh, just something out of the corner of my eye anymore, you know, because it's much more confronting, you know?
So, and when you're having more of that, like, how are you helping your clients? What are your suggestions, Jake, for that kind of energy that's happening right now?
So it sounds a little bit rudimentary, but when with really all of my clients, I recommend them all with the basics, psychic training 101, you know, because I am guilty of that myself too, you know, doing this for many years, I'm sure, you know, you and Michelle can agree too. We forget sometimes to clear ourselves right after a session, or be a day or so before something like that is done for ourselves, or we might not do something to align ourselves for quite some time because we, you know, we'll thug it out, for lack of better words, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so after you have like three nights in a row where you can't sleep, or you're having like the nightmares and it feels like somebody's standing in the room, and then you finally go, oh, maybe I should do a really thorough clearing. I know. Hey, bitch, this is what you do for a living. I know.
Your sweet grass starts to light itself for you.
Yes, right.
So big thing for me is always pointing them in the directions of basic understandings of their, how to use their abilities, how to use them safely, because if they are so vulnerable now, then they are, it's kind of like a baby bird being pushed out of the nest, right? They are pushed right into the thick of it, and they have to always have that protection. because it's not only just, you know, like ghosty spirits, it's also everybody's energy that they're interacting with too. And right. I don't know about you guys, but in a lot of my sessions, they are no strangers to having these very like turbulent relationships with friends, coworkers, family, things like that. Like a lot of that kind of like aggression and hardheadedness is coming up too.
The drama.
A lot of drama.
Yep.
Exactly. It's very much like bumping heads with no intention of agreeing though.
Right.
Splitting apart and not talking anymore. I've seen so much of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
and everybody has to be right. Yeah, you're right. There's less of a tolerance. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what I've been like dealing with or seeing like from people that it's like there's no give or there's no, even though they're coming to you saying that they want some sort of a resolution, they really don't. They just want somebody to say, you're right, they're wrong.
And they want to complain.
Right. Because the conversation isn't necessarily ever, it's not never going to come to an appeasing agreement because the person is just looping you into interacting with that experience, you know, to telling that story the way that they want to and kind of trapping you into it. Right. It's a never ending cycle.
Oh, that's really it. That's very, very interesting. So that being said, and I've been seeing, you know, people all over the place and hearing them in the house, I keep getting that lately not as much this weekend. I actually probably did some good clearing, but I have been doing that where I'm hearing like whispering or music or like it sounds like a television on like two rooms away, but I'm the only one home and I'm actually like, hello, in the house. So I do the mindless scroll of going through TikTok. And a while ago, started to see, and I'm fascinated by it, the stories about Appalachia. And first of all, how far it reaches. It's all the way from Maine down to, I think it's West Virginia or down even maybe lower. And
Florida, I think.
Yeah, it's so long. And the fact that there's so many stories of people from the past to people now about what not to do if you live there. And immediately thought of you, Michelle, because one of the things they talk about is skinwalker. So that the skinwalkers are big on a lot of the properties, that you don't talk into the woods. You don't, you know, you don't, if you hear somebody whistle, right. If you hear whistling, you don't say like, what's that? You ignore it. If you hear your name called, you ignore it. No, you didn't. That's what they all say. You hear somebody call your name. No, you didn't. So you have to pretend like, you know, you didn't see that or hear that. And you're not supposed to look out your windows at night. You're not supposed to be outside at night.
Terrifying.
So it's amazing. And this goes back to Native American culture. So this isn't just like, you know, the advent of the internet and people are talking about hoogity boogity spooky things. This goes way back and it's all within different regions coming down. So again, I find it fascinating. Because of the other thing that I keep hitting on, and I'd love to know Jake's thoughts on this, is the stairs that are just in the middle of the woods, and they have no idea how the stairs got there or why this. Have you ever seen that, Dee?
No, this sounds like an amazing place, by the way. Why would you live there? Like, hey, whatever you do at night, don't look out your window. Okay, thanks.
I actually was thinking that, and it's a lot of people that have like huge like farms and stuff, but they're generational.
They've been there for generations.
There for generations, and they're like, my mamaw used to say, "Don't look out the window." And I'm thinking, why are you still there?
Get out!
It's time to go. And now it belongs to a new family. There you go.
The stair thing is, I guess, I saw this a long time ago on one of the podcasts, and it talked about random places, and they can find them all over the world, and they're like concrete steps just in the middle of the forest. So part of you would think, okay, was there an old structure there? No, some of them, no. They're just stairs. And the belief is that it is a stairway that is interdimensional. Yep, and portal to another. Now, keeping in mind, here's one of the references that is freaky with all of this is there's over, just in that Appalachian Trail area, I believe the quote was there was over 2,000 to 3,000 people go missing.
Yes.
Not a trace. Not a fucking trace. We're not talking about like those woods, like in, is it China, where they go into the woods and they're super, super haunted?
Yeah, yeah.
Japan.
Aokigahara. Yeah, in Japan. Yes. Mm-hmm. So it's that kind of a thing. They just disappear. Absolutely no trace.
Sometimes just their clothes, like, and their, have you ever seen right. that? It's like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Baby.
So it makes you wonder, right, exactly. Like, okay, there's something else that's going on with this, like, interdimensional or, like, that, I'm telling you, if I was hiking and I just saw a set of stairs, I would crap my pants. I'd be like, no, you're not taking me. Yeah, if it was an Outlander thing, like, I could see the stones, I'd be running upstairs, touching them, looking for Jamie, you know.
First of all, but also taking a step back, finding anything in the woods will still also be scary to me. I could find anyone. I could find a priest in the middle of the woods. I'll be terrified. I could find you and Michelle in the middle of the woods, and I'd be so spooked. You know?
Right, you'd be like, is that you? I wouldn't believe it was you, right? It'd be like a skinwalker thing.
The shapeshifter.
Shapeshifter skinwalker.
The Appalachian. The Appalachian mountains are so fascinating for so many. There's so many levels to it, right? I mean, like you said, touching down on the Native American settlements that were there, and also the very dark history that is in that entirety, and then also talking about, you know, there's a whole section of witchcraft, Appalachian
yes!
witchcraft,
yes,
that is a sacred practice passed down by family. So it is so fascinating that, you know, you have
Say that again. What kind of witchcraft?
It's Appalachian magic.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So Appalachian magic, and it's interesting because I like to ask those questions, right? It's taking a step back. People who are so isolated in those mountain areas, why would they feel so deeply called to have such an intense magical practice, right? One that is very focused on warding off, you know, keeping things at bay.
Right.
You know, it's very interesting to take a look at that aspect in and of itself.
Yes.
But also then even talking about the people that are going missing. And then that's not even talking about the, we're not even touching down on feral people.
The ferals.
Remember when they got exposed last year, living in national parks in the Appalachians with no social security number?
Yes.
That's terrifying.
You know? You just gave me chills because I actually forgot about that. And they keep talking about, I think they're called the Moon-Eyed People.
The Moon-Eyed People, yep.
And that's supposed to be like another whole species. D's got this look on his face like, I do not know what you people are talking about.
I've never heard of that. And then I swear, I thought I heard Jake say the ferret people.
Feral. Wild people.
Oh, I was like, I'd rather be people. Ferret.
Like a ferret?
No, Moon-Eyed People, I guess, is a breed that is believed they could only come out at night.
Humans?
Right.
Humans.
And that their eyes were round, and they called them Moon-Eyed also because they could only see in the moonlight.
What the fuck is going on? Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
But the fact that this is going on, and like we're living out like our daily lives, and so the people have an awareness. We are, obviously, we're in the capital region. We have a part of the Appalachians right here in the Catskills.
We do indeed.
So it's not like we're talking about, you know, in Virginia, and it's all, I think I said it went through 15 states, 14 states.
Ends up in Katahdin, Maine.
I saw one that said there's one of the trails in Beckett, Massachusetts, which Beckett is, I drive through Beckett going to Boston and all of that when I have to go to dance competitions. And the only reason I remember that is because there was a pitcher that pitched for the Red Sox named Josh Beckett. So it comes up, it pops into my brain. Listen, I had a weird retention system in the head, but
apparently you do.
And I picture Thomas Beckett.
But it's, listen, I got to equate things like that's how I remember shit. Otherwise, I'd remember nothing. So,
oh my gosh. So the Appalachian Mountains are so ancient. They're one of the most ancient, like, stretches of mountainous area in the world. And I've heard that shamanistic people refer to the Appalachian Mountains as the spine of the dragon.
Yes, I've heard that too, years ago. The other thing is, I was thinking about with the hauntings, we've talked about this before, and I think with Jake, that if there's probably certain elements or in the ground, in that trail, in that it's probably works to like amplify the hauntings and any of that kind of trapped information that's in that area. But the part where people just disappearing, and I'm the one that when I found out that when they were looking for Gabby Petito,
yes,
and in the national park, they found 9 other bodies.
They did. That's a dumping ground. I
mean, fucking think about that, people. That's a fact. So while they were doing this massive manhunt for her and for him,
mm-hmm.
9 other bodies that had gone missing were discovered. That's crazy. Yeah. One would be crazy.
Yes. There's literally an entire podcast dedicated to, like, what is it called? Like, national parks. So like,
It's called parks.
Park predators.
Yes. That's the cool. You go hiking because every single person you pass on the thing, you're like, mm-hmm.
Are you trying to kill me? I can't pass a trailhead now without feeling like terror.
I mean, first of all, I just want to make sure that the viewers that we're all on the same page here. It goes without saying, do not go in the woods at night.
Nope.
Any woods, for that matter. First of all, that's why there's so much spiritual energy. Why you'll experience so many hauntings in like the Lake George area, Queensbury mm-hmm. area, because it's so dense. Nassau, even, you know, that direction.
Yes.
Anywhere it's very dense, because all kinds of energies live in the woods, not mm-hmm. just human spirits, right?
Elementals, right?
Elementals, things that are indifferent, you know. And that's kind of what's spooky too, because that's where you get kind of that culmination of those minor energies, those unintelligent spirits that mm-hmm. just kind of cluster, and then they kind of set up camp, you know, and that draws in funk. And then to think about it, how big the Appalachian Mountain area is, that much forest, that much nature, earthly energy that's just pumping right there, you know? Think about, it's like Sedona on crack.
Right.
You know, very much so, well, or Appalachia, so... Anyway, so just think about like how dense that is. Thing.
The fact that there is a whole part of this that it is intelligent enough. So it's your first time in the woods. It's your first time in the Appalachians. It's intelligent enough. It knows your thoughts. It knows your fears.
Yes.
And it knows to call your name.
Yep.
To get your attention. So it knows your name. So there's a high intelligence there of wanting to trick and kind of pull you in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that I think that in itself is really, really scary.
That's unsettling mm-hmm. to know that something, right. almost like something is taking control over you or entering into you without your permission to enter your mind and getting that information.
Right.
Yeah. A predatory energy, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. That's a good, because it's not like that when we're having like place, most of the time we're having places that are haunted. If you hear somebody call your name, it's usually like they've gotten kind of comfy with you. They're in the house. They know your kids. They know. So you might hear, like in my case, I might hear Nicholas call me or Sarah had called me, and I would actually have to do a double take. So it's making itself familiar, like with the family routine.
It's moving right into the family.
But when you're going into the woods and it's like your first time on a path or some, and that's happening. I mean, so one of the things that I didn't realize, you know, we did a podcast about Mothman.
Yeah.
Mothman is in that line.
Yeah.
So where that occurred is part of the Appalachians. It's all in that line. So I was like, oh, well, that kind of makes sense.
D-Scott is shaking his head. Nope.
He's like, nope, no way.
It just sounds like a wonderful place to avoid.
I mean, it is. I mean, it's beautiful during the day, but like I said, stay out of the woods at night. Any of them.
Yeah.
I used to hike a lot. And I've been on different parts of the Appalachian Trail, and having your feet on that ground is definitely a different feeling compared to hiking in different places. Because I've done, you know, various things, the Adirondacks, and mm-hmm. but where it's tied in, you know, when you step, it's like it's got a pulse. It's like a vein or an artery. And that's, you could just feel the vibration. Similar, I know this is off topic, but stepping in between St. Agnes and Cemetery and Albany Rural Cemetery, stepping on either side of the fence, it's an entirely different vibration. Even my husband, even my husband could feel it. So it felt like that. Regular ground, a pulse.
That's actually fascinating. That really is very interesting. You know, connected with that. The one family I saw as I was doing the deep dive, they were talking about when they were growing up. It was a young man, and he said that his father worked the graveyard shift, and his father was in law enforcement in the Appalachians. And I want to say he was in Virginia. And he said, you know, father left, and a few minutes later, they were sitting and watching TV and heard the back door open up. And so the mother thought for sure the father's going to peek in and say, oh, I forgot my, you know, whatever, flashlight, whatever. And then they heard like somebody moving around, and then they heard the person leave. And she thought, well, he must've been in a hurry. So she called him at the police station and said, oh, what did you come back for? And he goes, what do you mean? And she said, we heard you. And he goes, you know, like, Marion, go check the door. And she went and checked the door. The door was not only locked, it was bolted from the inside. So somebody couldn't have come in and then left again. And he said, stay, you know, make sure you have your pew pew. And you, that you don't go near like the windows and stuff like that. And I guess they had different times at that particular, another time they heard, woke everybody up. They heard an engine revving outside the house, and they bolted. Everybody in the family got up at the same time, and there was nobody there. And there was nobody. So it wasn't something that could have been misconstrued like a low flying plane or something. It was in the side yard, and there was nothing there. So again, it's almost as if it's trying to, with chaos, pull you out, make you react like normally, right? Like you normally would react and come out, and it's like, huh?
It's like a cat and mouse game, it feels like.
Yeah, but and it's again, they go,
it's cool ahead. Too, because if you look at it, if you ask anybody that lives in there too, like they're all either superstitious or they don't speak about it at all. And there's just such a clarity amongst the entire people that live in there, that officially live there, not the feral people, that there is something not quite right about it, and that funky things happen in there. You know, I remember being told a story. I think it was by one of my clients. This was a couple years ago, so I'm a little foggy about the exact details. But they were telling me a story that their grandmother's house was in the Appalachians somewhere. Hours up north. They were telling a story about how they were having like an entire like sleepover, like them and their like younger cousins. It was like kind of like a family thing during the summer. It was later at night, and it was like downpouring outside, so like everybody's inside, right? And all the kids are like looking out the window, because all of a sudden they can see in the rain something is like pulling itself across the ground, almost as if like somebody like couldn't use their legs and was dragging themselves across. Yes. So they're all looking at this.
Oh,
and like,
I'm horrified.
I got goosebumps from that. I'm so sorry.
They're all looking at this, and then they end up like getting, they spook themselves, and then they go to bed. The next day they tell their grandmother about this, and they said, and this is the only time that they've ever really heard a conversation about spooky things, you know, blah, blah, blah. But the next day that grandmother brought all of them down to the creek, made them bathe in it, and beat them with a bunch of leaves, and never spoke about it again.
Oh my God. Really? Yes. So she was protecting them from that spirit.
Yeah.
That spirit that was looking to take over someone with legs.
How did they go to sleep?
Right? That's what I'm saying.
Good. Like, you're looking out the window, you're like, oh shit. All right, bedtime.
Okay. Wait a minute. No.
I'm up for like the next 3 days. Like, thank you.
I'll tell you a story that was years ago. We as a family had rented a home, beautiful house in Wellfleet, Cape Cod, and that's on a nature preserve. So different tides of the day, you literally can't get off of Wellfleet where we were. Mm-hmm. It is like a surrounded island, and then the water recedes, and then you can, you know, go to all the other great places in Cape Cod. So we did it as a family, and it's massive, huge, huge house. with outside, like the bedrooms off to the side, actually like a second house if you have guests and stuff.
Oh, wow.
So the following year, going through the divorce, I thought, you know, I really want to keep that as a tradition. I want to take the kids. So I book it. And so Sarah and I are in the main house, and Nick and Jenna were going to use like the honeymoon house. So they were coming up like the next day, but Sarah and I had come up. So, and I promised Sarah that in the morning I would make pancakes. So I was on the left-hand side of the house. So I'm in the room and I've got the door closed, and I called my mother in the morning and I was telling her that I was going to, and then I see footsteps go past my door. So I can see like under the door, and I can see, yeah, and I could, I thought, oh, Sarah got up. I better get up. I said, Mom, I got to go. I got to go make her pancakes. Hang up the phone, walk out. The house is absolutely still. And I'm like, that's crazy. So I walk over to her wing, and the air conditioner is going. So it's like, you know, that like white noise sound. Yeah. I open up her bedroom. She is face down, passed out.
Oh,
and I'm telling you, I saw, now I'm covered in chills, right? So I'm on alert. I'm not going to tell my kid, hey, listen, I saw somebody in the house. Yeah,
there's something in the house.
We would have been back in New York like that. So that day, Nick and Jenna come, and they're staying in the honey. They're going to come and stay in the honey thing. So in the middle, they said they were going to get a late start. So fall asleep, and they're still not there. There's a huge deck with a spotlight and everything on this deck in between the two houses. So I doze off, and it's probably towards 2 o'clock in the morning. And I hear there's like a metal grating, old fashioned metal grating on the screen door. And I hear bang, 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 bang. I jumped up. It was so loud. And I go running to the door, and I'm thinking it's Nick and Jenna trying to get in.
Right.
Nobody.
Oh, geez.
They hadn't arrived yet. They weren't there. There was nobody there. And there's houses, but the houses are like on the water as well, and they're down a ways. There was nobody anywhere around the house. And anytime you like go around the house, it turns on the exterior lights.
Yes.
So it would have turned on all the lights. There was nobody there. And that, it just was one of those things. Now, what do I think? I think it had to do with it being on the water.
Yes.
And the water coming in and the water going out. I think it did something to it. But it was one of those times where you're at somebody else's house. I don't know these spirits. So right. One morning I get up and I actually hear music.
Oh my God.
It's somebody's phone or radio on. And it was Elvis Presley's I Can't Stop. I Can't Help Falling in Love with You.
Oh.
Got up, walked out, heard it for a few more beats, and then it was gone. And this was not a normal Katie in my head stuff. It was in the house.
Right, with your earth ears.
Yeah. So then after that, then the kids did share that they had experiences, but it was one of those things that it wasn't my normal ghost encounters. It wasn't. So as we're talking about this and like the grandmother saying that, my first thing was I made sure I cleared the house. I salted everything and, you know, made sure that like everything basically was safe. Like, just let us be for the week that we're here. Yeah, I don't know what I would do if I saw something like that outside the window.
I mean,
it makes me twitch.
We've had, luckily, you know, we've had some pretty scary places we've tried to stay on. Well, we stayed on vacation, and the one house was in Seabrook Beach, New Hampshire. It was built in like the 1850s, beautiful old beach house. Some jerk bought the property and tore it down, which I could, don't, just sets me off. But we walked in there, and even the people that weren't sensitive felt like we could not walk through the doorway. So much. That house taught me how to clear at a deeper level than I've ever cleared before. Because, I mean, there were women in, you know, Victorian dresses sweeping up and down the stairs. There was, you know, just eyes and keyholes looking through. We were just, that was the scariest, to see an eyeball. That really just brought my clearing level up to it's just the highest it's ever been. I learned a lot in that house. So
Well, it sounds like kind of like what I did the research and kind of, and Jake, you confirmed it, was these don't seem to be spirits or elementals that can be cleared. You can basically umbrella the house or umbrella your family, like bubble your family. But unlike what we're used to, Michelle, it seems like around here, they're not cleared. They own the land. That is their place, not us.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm noticing, I don't know about you guys, but I am noticing a lot more, not human spirits necessarily, spirits that are from different directions that are from places that I don't know, I'm not familiar with. But what
I want to know.
Yeah, but it's interesting because it seems like there is like this whole like population that is like finding itself like in our local area. And you're right, they're not ones that you can necessarily clear. They kind of just come and go. One in particular actually followed us from Dimas's first apartment that they moved into. I called him the tall man. He's not a human. He's probably about 11, 12 feet tall. Tall enough to, like, have to hunch in the room. But he's really sweet, for the record. Very sweet, but he just stands there and he kind of, like, looks through the top of the doorway. And you can always feel him in the room. Always feel him wherever he's waiting, kind of in limbo.
So not human, though?
Not human, no. So that was interesting. That was interesting to see him living in a house that was occupied. Usually you would see that kind of stuff, you know, in a house that was maybe abandoned for a while, or maybe one that's like
like historic property?
like a historic properties that like haven't been lived in, ones that aren't like,
vacant. Yeah.
Yes, that there aren't souls in them, right?
Right.
You guys were just talking about your locations that you stayed at, but a year or two now, Dimas and I stayed at a wildly haunted Airbnb in Brooklyn, New York. No. So it was an apartment building that had like 5 levels or something. We were all the way at the top level, right? So, and these are not thick walls by any means, so you can hear every single step that's taken up those stairs. So all of a sudden, we are in bed sleeping. It's probably like 2 a.m., and we leap out of bed. I wake up and I'm already an inch off of my mattress from the leap that I did.
Wow.
We leap off the bed and to come up to the bedroom door sounding like 5 grown men were trying to kick the door in. Like constant rumbling, banging. To the point where like Dimas and I are like bargaining, like being like, all right, I'm gonna go out first, you have to call 911. Like, we were ready to do the whole shebang. So we open the door and it stops. And then we stand there for a minute and we're listening. We're like, all right, let's listen to see if like they go back down the stairs. And we tiptoe over to the door and look down the peephole. It's nobody there. And then we even asked the owner, who was like 3 floors down, she lives there, so like there's a padlock at the bottom door, you can't like just come and go through the apartment. Or the building. And she was like, no, I didn't hear anything like that.
Jeez.
Well, that actually is an interesting thing, too, because there are certain clairaudience that seem to be localized or special for certain people.
Yeah.
And it's not like maybe one person having the experience. It might be like that, like 2 or 3 people, but then nobody else hears it. Mm-hmm. And you think, how could you not? Like, you could feel the vibration of it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the weird thing. It's like, how can you feel it and hear it, but no one else can?
Like, so much so that not for one minute, not even for the entire night or the following day, did I think for one moment it could have been paranormal. That's how scared we were. That's how, like, primitively shook, cold blood horror, like, we felt from that whole event. It was probably, like, 5 whole minutes, by the way. The banging, the kicking, like, the absolute attack on that door. Yes.
How old was the building, do you know?
It was one of the brick buildings in Brooklyn, so I mean it's probably at least 100 years old, right?
Yeah.
It feels like mob related. That's what I keep seeing, is like some kind of mob related thing.
And it just really shocked me because I mean that kind of activity only happens in like few and far between, and like if we're talking about like demons or like a crazy poltergeist, you know what I mean?
It's the city. Yeah,
it's just Brooklyn.
There's something about that, and I don't know if our listeners have ever had this happen. There's something about the quality of when you have certain auditory things, yeah, you might go, oh, maybe I mistook that. But when it has that density that you actually feel it, like sound, like, you know, yeah, when somebody yells pain, you actually feel it in your physical body or something drops. We had an experience here. I know I've talked about it before, where Nicholas and I, years ago, were watching TV. It was like a Friday night watching a movie. And it sounded like an entire kitchen cabinet came off the wall, like pans, mm-hmm, the cabinet and everything. And we startled, the cat startled. We all go running in the kitchen. There's nothing out of place. There wasn't one thing. So it wasn't just sound. It was physical vibration that, yeah, we felt, that it like alerted us. It wasn't like a curious, like, what's that sound? It was just like a crash that you would have if something did break and something happened. So it's, I understand what you're saying. That maybe that's another part of this we were talking about in the beginning, that some of the things that people are talking about. I had a client last night, it's a longtime student, message me that she and the boyfriend have recently moved into a new location, and there is so much activity, and it is particularly targeting him. Like really bothering. And I would not say that he's a person that maybe in the past had experiences like this, mm-hmm, but it's really going after him. And she's like, what can I do? So I was giving her some ideas and tips, but I'm getting more of those messages. And usually, like, Michelle and I will talk about that, Jake, like, we'll get them in cycles.
Yeah.
It just kind of comes up usually around the holidays, ironically. Mm-hmm. And then it just drops right. I know Christmas, it seems like it comes up. And then it drops right off.
But it's staying this time.
Yeah, definitely. It's different, though. It's spookier.
It's different because it's intelligent.
Yes.
I think you're right. I think
intelligent.
Yes.
You know, usually, like, most of the house clearings that I do is really just like psychic energy that just like gets cluttered up, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that you just clear out, push out. But I mean, I have found spirits from that don't necessarily make sense for like the geographical location,
right?
For like the timeline of like the property, like, mm-hmm, interesting. Like, I've crossed paths with like kids that like look like the little Dutch boy, but I've also like found like a 20-year-old woman from like the mid-2000s, like intersecting spirits that, yeah, really should not belong near each other. People from out of state, like with different accents, things like that. It's very interesting. It's very, very interesting.
That's portal stuff. Yeah. That's exactly what we were talking about before, which is that vortex portal stuff that, you know, seems to be that gateway or something happening. It's usually an event that's what they say. It's usually an event and it creates that, and they're just intersecting spirits. They don't make sense together. Just what, mm-hmm, and
they might not know about each other.
Right. Most of them don't interact with one another. They're interacting with the people, the living, but they don't know each other.
Yeah. So interesting. I mean, listen, I get it. You know, every once in a while you hear of, you know, a shadow person, or, you know, there is going to be a, you know, a nasty spirit that is just like not trying to get rid of the house, and he's trying to like get like somebody out of it because they're making changes.
Right.
It happens all the time. But yeah, we're talking about intelligent energies that are just like either picking somebody out, or that are just like assembling and kind of like creating like a like almost like trying to like take ownership of the space in a sense.
Yes. You know? It's like, it's mine now. Yeah. I've had a lot of that lately where, you know, and they feed off of fear. So I've been talking to homeowners about putting your foot down. This is your space. And I think that there's just, as we were talking about earlier, so much anger and so much division in our country. And I mean, there's just so much just fury, I'd have to say. I think it's the fury that's maybe bringing up the furies, in a sense. It's bringing up those other energies and it's feeding them. It's kind of like Monsters, Inc.
Yeah.
You know? That's what
they're collecting the screams.
Yeah, they're just feeding off of the fear and the anger and the fury. Yeah.
And it's easier for it to be all interconnected and to spread, because if you think about it, all these little hotspots are kind of just like Wi-Fi boosters, right? They're telephone cables,
yes,
and they all interlink. And that's why it can be in places that don't make sense for them to be haunted or to have any kind of spiritual energy. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's what's interesting too. So like, yeah, sure, somebody's house, but like you could be at a supermarket. You could be at, you know, a brand new building and a very benevolent, you know, square of the city. You know what I mean? No mass murders, no crazy people, no cults, nothing like that. You've already checked the list. But to have such like a very, very, very apparent and very, very lively energy too.
Yes.
It's different. It's interesting.
It's like a spirit superhighway. They're just everywhere.
So I guess for our listeners, so we don't just leave them with nothing, but I do want to say, did you guys come across anything about, and I'm going to probably say it wrong, the Wampus Cat?
I saw something about that.
Why do I
it's
know
a six-legged cat that's what? Also been seen. It may be part human.
Yes.
And it was having to do with like a shaman ritual, mm-hmm. and a young woman wanted to witness the ritual, so she cloaked herself in like a cat skin.
Yeah.
And the shaman saw her and turned her into this. And I guess now this energy, this wampus, I'm not probably saying it right, so I'm sorry, has been seen in the woods as well. And they attack people and go after people. So that's another one. There was also, I said, the Flatwood Monster.
I did not hear about that.
So you would like this one. Look it up, Michelle, because it's from 1952. There's articles connected to it. And they actually have pictures. And they had large glowing eyes. And it was seen after there was a streak in the sky. So these boys go running, right?
Right.
We all know where this is going. They go running to where it was, and they immediately get ill. Ooh. And there wasn't anything that could be found. They start to show the signs. Somebody said it was the same as like Agent Orange or mustard gas or something like that, like the effects of it. Mm-hmm. But what they had seen were these owl-like beings, these great big eyes. So some people just pawned it off as being, you know, owls in the woods. But other people believe that these were some sort of like an alien being. And of course, that around that time was when people started to encounter and see that. And that's the other thing about this. It seems that there is more UFO and alien activity on this, the Appalachian Trail.
And Bigfoot, our buddy Bigfoot is there as well. Yeah.
So I thought that was another really interesting. So one of the women said that if you're going to go on the trails, that you should be carrying sage and cedar and a piece of your heirloom jewelry, like a family hand-me-down jewelry.
Really?
Yes. And I guess that's supposed to work as a protection. And I kind of think that's cool because it's like bringing your ancestors with you. Like, my people are bigger than your people. Yeah. So
you can exactly. I have people too. You don't own everything about people.
And then again, this other person said, absolutely do not, you can look at the trees in the woods, but do not stare into the woods. Even if it's daytime, you should not be, because you're going to get something looking back at you. They're watching you. That's basically the premise of it.
D is not happy about this.
Yeah, he's
oh my God.
Don't go there. Don't fucking go there.
Oh, and to think people are out here camping, y'all are crazy.
Oh yeah,
y'all
and the lean-to. They have lean-tos you can stay in. They're what not even that? Four. It's not even. It's like two walls and a roof. There's not even a door.
So. No. So, absolutely not.
I am appalled by that. But I mean, I've heard just like even stories like from other kind of like forests and like woodsy areas too, like lights just coming out of nowhere, people losing time in the woods, hiking.
Oh,
that's
you're right. That's a big one on here, the losing time. And then, you know, let's talk about that, guys.
Yeah,
I hear the talking about it. I think I talked with Michelle about it like a week or so ago, but I keep getting, so you know, like, you know your daily schedule. Like, I know my readings. I know how much time I have in between to run down, get another cup of coffee, go tinkle, and then get back on my readings.
Right.
I will literally, like, look at the clock, and I'm like, oh, I got plenty of time. Run down, grab something. And then I am literally 3 minutes behind.
Yes.
So I lost 20 minutes or I've lost a half an hour and it doesn't make any sense. Now, is it happening all the time? No. Am I blacking out? No. It's literally like I'm standing in the kitchen, grabbing my tea, and I turn around and the clock is already jumped. And then I've had days where it literally seems like the clock does not move.
Yeah, I've had that too. It's like both ways. It's like, what the hell? I wasn't down here that long. Or, you know, why is time not moving? It's almost like we're in a video game and someone hit fast forward or someone hit pause.
I'm very aware of that when I look at the clock. I've been getting a lot of numbers, and I never was a numbers person, getting the 222-333, you know, 1111. The other night I was doing a reading and it was the clock time was 555, and the person's reading was at 5555. That's the number of minutes.
Wow.
That was up on the thing. And I was kind of like, they were talking and I was literally like, I wanted to go, holy fuck, that's crazy. It was right across the top. So when those numbers come up and it's 11:11, and like, so say I'm not looking right at the clock, but then I catch it. Every single time it is longer than a minute that it hangs on there.
Mm-hmm.
So I can watch 222 and I can watch 333 and it's taking way longer than a minute for that to go to the next time. It's the only time that it happens is when it's on those numbers and I'm paying attention. The rest of the time it's all, you know, that seems to go normal, but those particular numbers. So I urge people to pay attention to that as well. But you're right, the time loss thing, Jake, they talk about on there that people lose time.
And that's up in the Catskills with Rip Van Winkle.
I mean, now that you're talking about that, it's actually making me think about it, because this is something that I have thought about and noticed too. But even like the opposite of that, and like, yes, of course, like we all know that like having that deja vu feeling or feeling like you've already had an experience, that an event already happened, you know, can come with the territory. But I feel like that is happening very often, but in a very like, it's very like uncanny valley, right? Because it doesn't necessarily feel like it's like, you know, I'm psychically like feeling this or like something like that, but it feels like, oh, did we not just have this conversation a second ago? Or, oh, did this person not just come in and do that like that, or organize those files, or come in and say hello already? Like, things like that. And it doesn't feel like clairvoyance or anything like that. It does not feel like that. It feels like, like almost like time slipping. Yeah. Like, interesting stuff.
Time slippage. I like that term.
Yeah.
Because it is. It's like it's fluid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where time isn't like so digital. It's a lot. It's kind of like water.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. I know. One of the things they talked about, and I have noticed this, Michelle and I think actually had this experience one time, but people standing in the middle of the woods and getting that feeling while they're on the trail of something there and something around them, and then they don't hear anything, meaning they don't hear bugs. They no longer cease to hear birds.
The cone of silence.
Right.
Yep.
Nothing moving, no wind, no like leaves rustling, not any of the normal sounds. It just goes dead.
Dead silent.
And you better believe I would take flight. I would fly like a bird. Maybe it wouldn't even be a question. Silence is disgusting in the woods.
It's like someone takes a big, I always think of those cake holders with the big glass top. It feels like that's being put over us.
Ugh.
We've had that happen
about it.
A couple times. In Albany Rural Cemetery, we had that happen.
Yeah, it got real quiet and it was literally like you couldn't hear any. And I think we might have been commenting on it, and the person we were with was either the director or somebody there, and they were kind of like, they just kept right on talking, and Michelle and I were like, you don't hear any birds. You can't hear any birds. You hear anything?
Hear
it got really, really quiet. Like, I think we all should get the fuck out of here.
I think that was the time that we saw the demon, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that was pretty powerful. But
sorry.
But that to me is one of those like big, like if regular people are recording things like that or having those experiences, and keep in mind, like I love the woods, I love going to the water and that kind of stuff, but that kind of stuff, like you said, absolutely not with the lean to, there is no way. I don't care what woods it is. It could be my Mima's backyard. I'm not doing that.
I just couldn't sleep. This is my scariest sleeping in the woods story. So we when I was a kid, we used to camp a lot, and I missed that so much, being on camping trips with my family. But we decided we'd go south for Easter every year, and we'd stop off at a couple different places. We decided it would be a good idea to camp on a battlefield. It's the Battle of Bull Run or Manassas, depending on what, you know, what battle you were, what side you were fighting on. So we're camping on the Battle of Bull Run in the woods. So there had been actual fighting here. So it was one of those campsites where there's no hookup. So you can't go to the bathroom in the trailer. There's no water. So my mother and my sister and I walked probably 9 to 10 o'clock at night with our cute little flashlights that we got for Christmas that year to the bathroom, did our business, brush our teeth, wash our hands, and we're walking back. It's probably like a quarter mile back to the campsite. And as we're walking, my mother's saying, "Oh, let's walk faster." And I'm hearing footsteps behind me. But, you know, I was a little, I was probably 8, which means my sister was 4. So I was just like, "Oh, you know, mommy's making a fun game." And she goes, "Okay, let's walk faster. Okay, let's run." And she kept looking behind her. And I looked back, and all I saw were leaves moving with, like, footsteps. We were followed back to the camper. And, boy, my mother literally threw us in, jumped in herself, slammed the door, and locked it. And my father's like, "What's wrong?" She goes, "Nothing." She wanted to scare the kids. But then I heard them, you know, talking in a low voice. She goes, "Don't worry about locking the car. Just let's not go outside until it's light again." And, boy, I know it was a soldier following us back from the bathroom. But what really unnerved me more than seeing the leaves move was the faster we went, I could hear his breath like he was running after us. Mm-hmm. And thinking back, he that was just a ghost. I think he was a lost soul and he was looking for his mother. But still, mm-hmm. that breathing behind us and the thump, thump, thump and the rustling, we were out of there at the crack of dawn. So my mother said, "We're not staying here." So Battle of Bull Run Campground, unless you want a paranormal experience, I would not recommend it.
That's crazy.
Half mile walk to the bathroom. I would be white knuckle gripping my head until morning before I would walk down a half. Absolutely not.
We should go camping. Up God. In Whitehall together.
Absolutely not. I'm such a mixed girl because I'm definitely the one that I'll do the spa day and the full spa, you know, treatment at a hotel. But I love the woods and I love, you know,
maybe not so much the camping outside, but I love just being in the woods and stuff like that. I just think it's really, really cool.
Michelle, so, did you say we should go camping in Whitehall?
Yes.
So are we trying to get eaten by Bigfoot? Is that what we're going for?
Bigfoot.
If we're lucky.
I wish.
That would be the least of our issues.
I wish.
Maybe there's bigger fish to fry in there.
Don't tempt me with a good time.
Oh, yeah, what do we have up there? We have, there's some kind of curse in the water. There's rattlesnakes. There's Bigfoot. All kinds of good things up there.
There's rattlesnakes in the cursed water.
Yes. Oh, when they swim. Bad. When they swim, that freaks me out. You're not even safe in the water from rattlesnakes.
I mean, aside from the paranormal shit, rattlesnakes are scary enough. I'm good. I'm not going.
And, my brother Timmy, he's the oldest of us, and he's in banking and he's a numbers guy, but his passion or one of his favorite things is hiking in the Adirondacks. He's done all the major peaks and
nice.
And done most of it by himself. Like he'll go and just do it. Right. Again, I wouldn't recommend it. So he had one time that he had gone and he was hiking and was by himself. And he kind of twisted his ankle. He's had an on again, off again injury in his ankle, just like everything you'd see in a movie, right? So he wraps it all up and it's getting later. So he decides to, you know, build the camp and he's like halfway through the trail and it starts raining and he's got a fire going and everything, but it's like raining and he can hear the rain. And he said, as he's sitting in the tent, he said he sees a man peek around the corner of the flat. Shadow. Oh, yeah. Well, and my brother Timmy said he just sat there. He said, dead silent, waiting to see what happened. And it kept, he said, it was curious. Whatever it was just curious and kept peeking in and then leaning back. If Timmy tried to give it more attention, it kept
doing that back and forth with him. And in the morning, you know, finally left, and Timmy could hear him every once in a while walking around outside the tent. Timmy gets up in the morning and he's like, you know, I'm packing up. I'm going to head on out. I'm sorry. That's my dog.
Franklin.
And so anyway, so Timmy hikes out and he didn't realize that he was right near a location in the Adirondacks that had a plaque where there was an ammunition plant that had exploded and killed many, many workers at this ammunition. And he said, I really think, because the conditions were right and it was raining and all this stuff, that he basically like camped right in the middle of it. And they were probably more curious about him, like, who are you? What are you doing here?
And
I don't think he felt threatened, but he said he brings it up. He just brought it up like a week or so ago to me. He said, the guy that was looking in the tent, and he said, I'm zero by myself. And I was like, oh my God, oh my God. Yeah. And I wouldn't say, like, Timmy has some ability. I think everybody does, but Timmy has some ability, not that it's something that he would ever talk about.
But so it had to be a big deal for him to bring it up.
Right. That was definitely a big deal. And then to find like that validation or what resonated with him when he saw the plaque and it had to do with.
My kids do that stuff too. The older two love to hike, and they're going to do it again this year. I think the presidential range up in the White Mountains of New Hampshire. And there's a place there called Lake of the Clouds, which sounds beautiful, but there's an inn that you can stay at. It's kind of like a hostel where you can go and you pay $5 for a hot meal and you can be on, you know, there's a place to sleep and whatnot. Well, there is a pair of hiking boots that you're told don't touch those because the guy who owned them, I think, fell to his death or something. But I don't know why the boots are there, but anyone who moves the boots gets a severe injury. So those boots can never be moved. And so my middle son's just like, yeah, whatever. And the older son is texting me from the top of the mountain, can you please clear this place? He's so funny. He's like, oh my God.
Enough of a believer.
Yeah, he's not fun. He's like, you know, his fiance just, you know, bought a house, and he's like, they both believe. She's more like even keel about it. He's like, I'm not going. He's sitting in the car in the driveway. I'm not going in until you clear this place. It's hysterical.
Oh, wow.
Great guy. Good thing.
Smart man. Right?
Smart. Smart.
That's the spirit.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Craziness.
Jake, where can our listeners connect to you? And what do you have coming up? Do you have any classes or anything coming up?
You know what? It's summertime, so I feel like we're all just trying to be out there enjoying that sun, right? So once it gets towards the August time, I'll probably be a little bit more active at Reiki Rocks. I'll still be doing private readings from here and there every couple of Saturdays. But you can find me at Jake Paul Readings on Facebook and Instagram now. You can message me personally. I always joke that I have the social media presence of a missing person. So don't worry.
Yeah. Yep, me too.
Which, oddly enough, I do social media as a full-time job. But neither here nor there.
They want to work at home, right?
Exactly. So you can find me on Facebook and Instagram. Reach out to me. Or if you are old-fashioned and want to email me, jakepaulbookings@gmail.com. You can also do that.
We have a podcast.
I want our listeners to know, hey, you said quickly there that you do classes and things at Reiki Rocks, and to go to Reiki Rocks. Anybody that's out there, if you're looking for sage and stones and all that kind of
amazing
stuff to help you, it's an amazing shop as well. Tony Kraft is an amazing owner and just fun to work with. But your classes are so well received, Jake. So keep doing what you're doing, because anytime somebody takes one of your classes, they rave about it. And then they have to tell me, oh, I have a class with Jake. So if people are looking to expand their knowledge or get started with it, be looking for Jake's classes. You will not be disappointed with either his readings or his classes. They're
seriously
amazing.
Seriously, he's amazing.
Well, I'm so happy that you came on and we got to talk about spooky shit that the whole time made D. Scott extremely uncomfortable.
I know.
I'm literally going to probably go upstairs and, like, after we get off, I'll do more deep dive on it because I'm so fascinated by
it is
this.
So interesting.
Anytime I think I know a lot of shit, I realize I don't know shit.
Yes, I love that. There's always more to learn. I love that.
Yeah, there's always more that's going on. It's like, how did I not know this? How did I not know about that? So,
hey, Jake Paul, do you have a podcast? Did you mention? Did you want to share your podcast info?
Yeah,
I do have a podcast with my dear friend Rachel Garrett. It's called Call Me Now. Because I had to just pay a little homage to my dear Miss Cleo, who passed a couple years ago. so yeah. It's Call Me Now with Rachel Garrett. We are, you know, it's fun. We talk about spiritual stuff. Very uncandid, just like what we're doing right here, too. And then we also have a podcast with Melissa Neely. That can be found on Rachel Garrett's Facebook page. We talk about some really cool stuff. Melissa is so knowledgeable about shamanism, earthly energy, fae. It's I can listen to her talk all the time.
What's that one called?
That one is called...
Uh-oh. I know, I can never remember things when I need to remember them.
God, hold on. I have to find out.
Sorry about
the problem
that.
Is that that Rachel and I have like three now at this point. All right, hold on.
It's hard to juggle all.
Oh,
that.
I should have written it down beforehand.
Well, D. Scott has his. We have ours. We support one other people's podcasts. So
in the mind of D. Scott.
Boy, I'm inside the mind of D. Scott. I got the Undisputed podcast with Bobby Fish. I got this podcast.
All over the place, aren't
you? Listen, you were podcasting like at the beginning. Like nobody was podcasting and nobody knew how to do it.
Well, yes. A little bit. It's been around for a long time. Joe Rogan's been podcasting for well over 20 years.
I think he wants me to sleep with him and getting that psychically.
Y'all were the OGs. of the psychic.
I said, I think he wants me to sleep with him and getting that psychically.
Oh my God, I love it.
Pass it on. Joe Rogan.
Shout out to Joe Rogan. Can't even like to spend some time with you.
Yeah. I could give a good knee massage.
He's the new John Cena.
Yeah, John Cena's still John Cena. Okay. But,
oh my God, that's what it's called. I literally came up with the name. God. So my podcast that you can find Rachel, Melissa, and I on. Oh, and you've lost my camera. Great.
Got it.
We can see you.
Oh, perfect. It is called It's Me, Not You, all three of us. Yes. And then you can also find me, Rachel, and Michelle Margiotta have a podcast, The Beauty of Grey. We talk about witchcraft on there.
Oh, my gosh.
You do?
Yes.
I know that. What's it called?
The Beauty of Grey.
Oh.
Oh, I'm looking that one up. And I love Michelle.
Listen to that.
Love Michelle.
She's fantastic. Oh, she's Ricky rocks a lot as well.
Yes, yep. Very often she teaches a lot of classes there, especially on tarot and on witchcraft too, which is amazing. And let me just say, 10 years ago when I was starting into this business, these kind of classes were not just happening all the time, you know?
I know.
The fact that you can go on any, you know, given month and maybe find a spell candle class or something like that is just really, it makes my little spooky heart warm.
I know. It's so cool.
We had Michelle on our podcast, and she did impromptu tarot readings for us that were so on point. It was amazing.
Yeah, spot on. Spot
on. Awesome.
Yes, she is. She's amazing. Well, thank you again, Jake, for coming in and talking with us about spooky stuff. Loved it.
Yes.
And let us know if you have other things that are coming up, and maybe we can do some cross promotion.
Absolutely.
We like that.
Thank you so much again for having me on. I love you guys.
Oh, we love you.
We miss you. We miss being on with you.
Feels so good.
Well, thank you so much. this is a big week for everybody because it's the full moon and it's summer solstice.
Summer solstice on the same day.
Get your manifesting. Maybe that's why this has been so crazy. Maybe that's why. It can't get crazier.
It's like shaking the snow globe. That's what we're doing right now.
But it can get hotter.
Oh my God, it's awful.
I
gotta tell you, because I lived in Florida for just that brief period of time, and it was like, you know, the devil's anus. truly, that this is hot, but it's a different kind of hot. So it's kind of like, oh, it's okay. It's, you know, there's shade. There's no shade in some of those other places. So,
I know.
No, thank you. Nope.
I know. So, but anyways, guys, thank you again so, so much. D. Scott, as always, thank you so much. Michelle Lines Polito, thank you so much. Jake Paul, as always, you are sexier and better every time you come on. So I know you're just so cute. I can't understand it. Thank you so much for being on. And thank you to all of our amazing listeners for your suggestions and your likes and your shares and your, what do they have to do? They have to rate us.
Ratings, yeah, subscriptions, likes, follows,
whatever. Like, yeah, follow, subscribe, share, leave a review.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen with the family.
Perfect.
Listen to
Give
this.
Thumbs up.
So, thank you all so much. Thank you, guys.
You guys have a great night.
Bye.
Yes.